And when they sent it to me, I thought that sounded rather interesting, and so I wanted to copy it and pass it on to all of you. Okay, now, I'm going to be completing tonight the mistakes of life. Remember, a judge in the City of London Court gave a lecture to a group, and he titled it The Mistakes of Life, and everybody thought it was going to be about people he had sentenced, but it was about his own life and the things that he found to be mistakes in his life. We've covered a good number of them, and so what I'm going to do is finish this up tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is indeed our desire that your Spirit would lead and have control. Speak to our hearts. Take the truth of the scriptures that are shared and the application from these mistakes of life, and may they be of help to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It is a mistake to worry ourselves and other people about what we cannot change. Okay? A mistake to worry ourselves and or other people about what cannot be changed. Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, most of you are well aware that when it says be careful for nothing, he is not saying we are to be careless, but rather we are not to be filled with care. And hence, the judge, when he said we're not to worry ourselves and or to worry others about what we can't change. I mean, why in the world should we be full of care about something we can't change? Well, the reason why is because we have an old nature. And that old nature that we have is prone to hurt us. That old nature we have is prone to approach things in life in ways that will not be of benefit to us. But the new nature, the one led by the Spirit of God, that's what is being spoken of here in verse 7, where it says, "The peace of God, it passes all understanding." And there are things we cannot understand. Have you ever had anything in your life you couldn't understand? Well, of course you have. You and I had many things we could not understand. But one thing for sure is to worry ourselves about things we can't change. But we'll do it. We'll do it over and over again, and it's not of benefit to us at all. As a matter of fact, it just adds to the troubles of life. So here we have something we can't change. Some situation in life might be involving another person. We refer to those as interpersonal relationships, okay? It might be involving a person. It might be involving some material thing like an automobile, and you got a problem with it and you can't change it. And thank you, Zane. You can't change it at all. Oh, my lands. You know, before I got a computer, the car was the bane, B-A-N-E. The bane of my life was my car. and something would go wrong with the car, doesn't matter what, big or little, and I would be obsessed with that problem with the car. And I remember when Pat said to me one time, she said, you know, your car causes you more heartache and headache than I ever did. And I said, yeah, you're right. Well, I want you to know, I got the victory over the car situation. Amen. But then the computer took over. I get so weary of being up. You know, like it's time to go to bed, 10:30, 11 o'clock, we'll go to bed. And I'll say, oh, by the way, I have to go in. I've got a thing in the computer I have to take care of. 3 hours later. Now, if I fix it in 3 hours, I have some sense of accomplishment. But I can finally just give up after 3 hours. I don't fall asleep easily then. Why? Because now I got victory on the car. But I haven't gotten victory yet on the computer. Oh, my. That thing just drives me nuts. And then she said one time, she said, you know, that computer causes you more heartache and headache than I ever have. And she got that from the past, okay? But to worry ourselves about what cannot be changed, okay? This is the thing. It doesn't do us any good. And yes, I share the car, the computer, and we laugh, we chuckle, I do too. But it's no good, okay? It's no benefit. And so we just have to, we need to give them to the Lord. That's why he says in verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, boy. You know, it's one thing to pray on something. It's another thing to plead with God on something. But then he says, with thanksgiving. Now, that can be a hard pill to swallow sometimes, can't it? We're not only to thank God, we're not only to plead with God about some things, but he says, now, add to that prayer and supplication, add to that thanking God for it. That's not easy. Okay? And I wouldn't stand here and pretend before you that it would be easy. But by God's grace, my most recent challenge with that is when I wake up. I won last night. Pat had a victory. She got to sleep in bed the whole night. Okay? The first time since October 25th.
Oh,
yeah. And I think I already shared with you how I would wake up and hear her crying with pain. I could plead with God and I could pray with God. I don't remember thanking God. You know, it's one thing. I do remember talking to him about that because I said, Lord, it's hard for me to thank you for this when it's her pain. I said, I remember talking to him and saying, if it were me and my pain to thank you for, I can imagine, but it's hard for me to thank you when it's her pain. And I don't, tell you the truth, I don't remember where I ended up with that. I don't remember if that was just what I shared and left it at that, or if I did thank him for her pain. I do not recall. And so that's important. And now somebody finds it very urgent to meet me. Okay, that won't work. That didn't work. That was my grandson in Montana. And so I will get back to him and let him know why I didn't answer his call. He wondered. Nevertheless, it's not good to worry ourselves about what we can't change. and then the next thing is, it's a mistake follow this through, not to make allowances about the weaknesses of other people. Other people have weaknesses, shortcomings, and it's a mistake when we will not make an allowance for them. Cut them a little slack, we might say, okay? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. To remove weaknesses in others, we see or just giving some understanding to them. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so it's significant that we try to give some understanding. Do you know anybody that's has a weakness? Do you know anybody that has a struggle with something? Something that, and here's where the key often is, something you don't struggle with. You see, I can have all kinds of compassion for somebody who has a problem like I have a problem, because I can identify with it. But when somebody has a problem and I don't struggle with that, or maybe I overcame my struggle with that, we must remember, if anybody's overtaken in a fault. Now, here might be the key as to why some people struggle with this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Is it possible that we have a hard time dealing with them in that area where they have a weakness because we're not spiritual, or we're not as spiritual as what we would maybe think ourselves to be? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If this is an area where a person has a weakness and we don't have a weakness, we must be careful that we don't judge them harshly, because we might just end up with the same kind of problem. I can well imagine God could let that take place. Something that I won't give consideration to another person, they struggle with it, and I'm harsh on them. I may never say anything. This just goes on in my mind, okay? But you see, what goes on in our mind often affects us then our interaction with that person. Where before we were very friendly and congenial and got along, well, now we're just a little standoffish, okay? We hold them at an arm's length. Why? Because we don't understand why they have to have a problem with that. They ought not to have a problem with that. And then, of course, they see that. They know we were once warm and friendly, and now we're just there. Mm-hmm. You see, that's how a lot of these things go on. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God might just let that same kind of problem come to me. Oh, then I'd get understanding. Oh, that might be why God would let that come to me. God might just say, I'm going to let that kind of problem go with you now. And then maybe you'll have some consideration over Henry. that you thought ought not to have such a struggle with that thing. Why can't Henry deal with that? God says, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Can you see that sort of thing happening?
Yeah.
I can well imagine that sort of thing happening. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a kind God. No, but it's a righteous God. And it's a God who will do for us what he knows we need to get us where he wants us to be. So don't worry about what you can't change. And make allowance for others when they have a weakness. Now the next one is, it's a mistake to consider anything unnecessary that we cannot ourselves perform. Okay, I can't do a certain thing. I can't serve a particular task. Therefore, that can't be very necessary. If I can't do it, does it need to be done? A lot of things do, of course. And we need to remember that no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. We're all part of one thing. The Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I'm not going to read this whole passage. It's verse 14 through 27, but I'm going to get started. You'll get the gist of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Or if the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? And so he's telling us here, just because we don't consider something important doesn't mean it's not important. And just because we feel it's not necessary doesn't mean that the body can do without it. Romans chapter 14 speaks of this yet in another way. Romans 14 and verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And so it is that we all need each other. And even though I may not feel this thing to be as necessary, it is. It is. We certainly would not want other people to think we were unnecessary or our abilities or skills were unnecessary. We would not want somebody else to take us for granted. And neither should we others. It's a mistake whenever somebody begins to feel that they're the only important thing that really matters. The last one that I have for tonight that's a mistake is to believe only what our finite minds can grasp. Okay? The fact of life cannot be explained by the finite, by simple man. Okay, I always had trouble keeping finite and infinite. Which one means what? Okay, I think I got a handle on it, but I always like to make it even simpler. Okay, I like to put it down. Those big words always did give me trouble. And you say, "Don't sound so big to me." Well, then we need to go back to the previous one about what's unnecessary to others, okay? Okay, now here we are. just because I can't explain it doesn't really mean that it's unimportant. And all that needs to be believed in is what I understand, what I can grasp hold of, what I can explain. That's the important thing. No. Go back to Ecclesiastes, if you would. Ecclesiastes. That's after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and you always get them mixed up, and I'm always going to the wrong place to find them. Okay, you say, I don't have that trouble. Well, you see, just because it's not necessary to you doesn't mean some of these are going to come into play immediately. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and this is what the mind can grasp. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of God, find out the work that God maketh from beginning to the end. Just because we can't grasp it with our minds doesn't mean that it isn't important or that God didn't make it. And then an even clearer to understand is in the New Testament, the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 11, Romans 11 and verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Yes, my little mind cannot grasp all that the mighty mind of God has done. And therefore, just because I can't understand it doesn't mean it's not important. And we need to remember that. Father in heaven, I do pray that that these thoughts that the judge shared, that they shall be of benefit to us and help us in our experiences of life. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here and to again share your word.